Tonight, a new monster hurricane taking aim. Category 5 Irma, one of the most powerful ever recorded, barreling towards the U.S. Emergency evacuations are underway in Florida. Al Roker is here. Immigration uproar. Former President Obama slams President Trump's decision to rescind protections for Dreamers, calling it cruel and wrong. Will Congress step in? Cold medicine defense. A husband says he woke up to find his wife stabbed to death. Now he's charged with murder, but says he can't remember a thing. An inspiring America, a teen's remarkable mission to preserve the stories of the greatest generation. Nightly news begins right now.
From NBC News World Headquarters in New York, this is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Good evening to our viewers in the West. Thank you for being here. And as we come on tonight, the U.S. is on a collision course with one of the most powerful Atlantic hurricanes ever recorded. Irma, a Category 5 storm with sustained winds of an eye-popping 185 miles per hour. Tonight, virtually every computer model has Irma making landfall in the United States as soon as overnight Saturday. Florida is already under a state of emergency as residents make a run on gas stations and grocery stores ahead of a mandatory evacuation order. Tonight, a view from space. Forecasters say, in fact, everyone from coastal Texas to Virginia should be on alert right now as experts work to refine the storm's precise track. We have the hurricane covered, beginning with Gabe Gutierrez with storm preparations in Florida. Gabe, good evening.
Lester, good evening. Officials here in Miami-Dade County say they expect to start some evacuations as early as tomorrow. And down in the Florida Keys, they are calling this a worst-case scenario. Millions along the East Coast are now closely watching one of the strongest Atlantic storms on record. Tonight, across Florida, the rush is on.
It's packed everywhere.
Gas, supplies, patients going quickly as a monster hurricane churns in the Atlantic.
We can't take no chances. We got to just, you know, get prepared.
The Keys closing schools and preparing to start evacuating tourists tomorrow. All of Florida now under a state of emergency as Irma's path is uncertain.
We have no idea what's in store. We'll have to pray for the best.
This morning, as hurricane hunters flew into the storm, it rapidly strengthened into a dangerous Category 5 behemoth, with winds now reaching a staggering 185 miles an hour. These incredible NASA images show the ominous eye of the storm as it barrels towards the Caribbean. The National Hurricane Center calling Irma potentially catastrophic, not just Florida in its path, but possibly millions along the East Coast.
This is a very, very powerful and intense storm. This storm doesn't appear to be weakening in any way, shape, or form.
In the Sunshine State, bottled water has been flying off shelves as 7,000 members of the National Guard are on alert.
We are getting our house ready and debating whether we should stay or whether we should go.
Tomas Rivera wrote out the area's last Cat 5 hurricane, Andrew, 25 years ago.
How worried are you about the storm?
Extremely worried. I mean, on a scale of 1 to 10, probably 13.
Airline change fees and highway tolls now waived as residents rush to get out. Gabe Gutierrez, NBC News, Miami.
This is Morgan Radford. Tonight, Puerto Rico in the bullseye, preparing for what could be one of the biggest hurricanes the island has ever seen.
It's a huge storm, so people are really worried about it.
The governor today asking President Trump to declare a federal disaster, saying the magnitude of this event is beyond the capabilities of his government. This, as FEMA says, they have 300,000 meals and 500,000 liters of water ready to go.
We have a Category 5 approaching our area, so the message is for the people to get ready.
500 buildings across the island are being turned into emergency response centers like this one.
You can see people behind me here. They're loading generators on trucks. They have boats here at the ready to help those more than 62,000 people who might be displaced.
The mayor of San Juan here in the shelter preparing meals, ready to spend the night.
Mayors are no better than people, and people need to know that their mayor is there.
There on a tiny island, bracing for a heavy hit.
The president has just accepted the governor's request to declare a federal state of emergency for Puerto Rico. And if you look here just behind me, you can see those clouds getting darker, those waves getting choppier as Irma is headed our way. Lester?
All right. Morgan Radford in Puerto Rico tonight. Thank you. Al Roker is here. We just went through Harvey. That was a history maker. This one could write some history of its own.
Absolutely, Lester. In fact, only four other storms have gotten to this strength before. Right now, Category 5, 130 miles east of Antigua, 185-mile-per-hour winds. It's moving west at 15. Storm surge could reach 20 feet in parts of the Bahamas Thursday. It goes past Hispaniola. By Friday, it's into Cuba. And then Sunday evening, a Category 4 storm, 140-mile-per-hour winds, Sunday at 2 p.m. Now, when does it make its turn? That's what we're really watching. The ensemble models bring it across Cuba into Saturday afternoon. But then watch what happens as we move into Sunday and Monday. We've got strands taking it into the Gulf, Central Florida, and on into the East Coast, almost a Matthew path. So, Lester, right now, we cannot tell people with certainty where this is going to hit, and that's why from Texas to Virginia, we have to be on alert.
Well, it looks like it can't miss the U.S.
Right now, it does not.
All right, Al, thanks very much. We'll see you in the morning with updates. Now to our other big story, protests erupting nationwide after the Trump administration announced it will end DACA. That's the Obama-era program that shields nearly 800,000 undocumented immigrants brought to the U.S. as children, also known as dreamers, from deportation. But the move also gives Congress a six-month window to pass a replacement. NBC News White House correspondent Kristen Welker has our report on this. Kristen, good evening.
Lester, good evening to you. Tonight, the president is taking heat from the left and right. Immigration advocates say his move to end DACA is cold-hearted, but his base is accusing Mr. Trump of punting on a court campaign promise, all as the fate of nearly 800,000 young immigrants remains uncertain. Tonight, sound and fury, with protesters storming major cities all across the country. Outraged after the Trump administration announced it's rescinding DACA, giving Congress 6 months to come up with a fix. DACA protects dreamers, young undocumented immigrants brought here illegally as children. Tonight, the president, who once vowed to treat dreamers with great heart, on defense.
How's your DACA decision treating dreamers with heart?
Well, I have a great heart for the folks we're talking about. I have a love for these people, and hopefully now Congress will be able to help them.
Instead of making the announcement himself, the president today sending out his attorney general.
The nation must set and enforce a limit on how many immigrants we admit each year, and that means all cannot be accepted.
Now, DACA benefits will expire on a rolling basis. No new DACA requests will be processed. Once their DACA status lapses, dreamers will be treated just like any other undocumented immigrant.
I'm scared that my life might change.
Tonight, former President Obama, who enacted DACA, said in a statement, to target these young people is wrong because they have done nothing wrong, and it is cruel.
It makes absolutely no sense from an economic standpoint, never mind the fact that this is America, this is a place where we should welcome people like this.
The president's own party is deeply divided. Members of his base say DACA should end now, but more moderate Republicans believe dreamers should be protected.
The question is, can we come together? The answer is we have no other choice.
Kristen Welker, NBC News, The White House.
This is Jacob Soboroff in California. This morning, Pablo Garcia rushed to make an impromptu stop before his first class at Cal State Fullerton. Like 900 of the 40,000 students on campus here, Pablo is a dreamer, brought to the U.S. from Mexico illegally when he was 5. And at the school's resource center dedicated to undocumented immigrants, he heard from the attorney general what he feared most.
DACA is being rescinded.
How do you process the idea of leaving here and having to one day go there, maybe within 6 months from now?
It's just heartbreaking that, you know, I could be deported anytime, you know, within 6 months or after the 6 months. It's unknown. I'm really usually not afraid of the unknown, but this unknown is shocking.
Shocking in part because Pablo, like so many others, must now juggle the possibility of deportation with his other daily responsibilities. And today, that's his biology lab.
You have to go here to your biology classroom, 363 at Cal State Fullerton. I mean, how do you process your normal day-to-day life when it's in the context of all this?
I have to stay strong, remain strong, especially for my siblings.
Pablo wasn't born here, but his 5 younger siblings were. making them American citizens, not subject to deportation.
Just because you weren't born here, you're not treated the same. You don't have the same privileges. But yeah, you do have to pay, you know, taxes, but we don't get treated the same.
For a generation of immigrants, everyday life now interrupted, and a six-month countdown begins. Jacob Soboroff, NBC News.
Tonight, a new show of force and new threats from North Korea as the U.S. keeps a close eye for another provocation after North Korea's most powerful test by far, claiming to have exploded a hydrogen bomb, which would be another rapid advance in Kim Jong-un's nuclear arsenal. Our chief foreign correspondent Richard Engel has the latest from South Korea.
South Korea today baring its teeth at North Korea in live fire drills that are now almost daily. North Korea making threats, too, at the U.S., warning more, quote, gift packages will be heading toward the United States. North Korea has already fired 18 missiles this year in violation of U.N. resolutions, and South Korea expects another missile test, perhaps this Saturday. This one would come just after North Korea detonated what Japan said today probably was a hydrogen bomb. The trajectory of the expected test launch will be key. If it's fired east, toward or over Japan, little change. It's happened before. But if it's fired south, toward the U.S. territory of Guam, and if the U.S. decides to try to shoot it down, it could trigger a level of tension not seen before.
If there's an actual strike near Guam, we will view it as an act of war.
Today, Vladimir Putin expressing support for North Korea, saying Russia won't back new sanctions, instead blasting military hysteria and saying North Korea would rather eat grass than give up its nuclear weapons. North Korea already finding economic support inside Russia from North Koreans living close to the border, sending badly needed cash back home.
Vladimir Putin will be in that region tomorrow in the city of Vladivostok for an economic summit. But here in Seoul, all eyes on that expected missile launch. North Korea already proved it has a bomb. Now it wants to show it can deliver it. Lester?
Richard Engel tonight in South Korea. Thank you, Richard. And back in this country as the U.S. braces for another potentially devastating blow from Hurricane Irma. In Texas, some homeowners are just beginning to assess the scope of the damage from Harvey. As the water recedes, the reality of a long road ahead is setting in. NBC's Miguel Almaguer has more on that tonight for us from Houston.
Edward James never thought his homecoming would be this heartbreaking. His house in Port Arthur no longer underwater, but his life still is.
Plumbing is backed up.
His family lost everything.
Me and my wife, Demiqua.
Except each other. We were there when wife Demiqua, son Joshua, and Edward were hoisted to safety. Their rescue shocking, but the road to recovery even scarier.
All I can do is just wait and be patient.
That's where we're living at right now.
With no insurance, the family is living in a FEMA hotel. 53,000 others doing the same. 180,000 approved for $148 million in assistance.
When roads were turned into rivers, this region was brought to its knees. Now that the water is gone, there is still destruction as far as the eye can see.
With the massive cleanup underway, in Houston, only one in every six homeowners has flood insurance. Insurance teams are assessing the damage, flying drones home to home. For Edward James and many more, there's little to save, but plenty to be grateful for.
I will never forget that sound.
Plucked from the flood, but tonight back home, facing an unfolding disaster. Miguel Almaguer, NBC News, Houston.
Still ahead here tonight, cold medicine murder, the bizarre defense an aspiring pastor is giving for killing his wife. Hear his 911 confession. Back now with a murder case making headlines across the country. It involves a wife found dead, a husband charged with her killing, and it's the husband's explanation that is raising so many eyebrows. He says he can't remember what happened, and he says his cold medicine is to blame. NBC's Blake McCoy tells us more.
Matthew Phelps and Lauren Hugelmeyer married just 10 months ago. He was studying to be a minister. She taught Sunday school. In a chilling 911 call this weekend, Phelps, his voice altered by police, says he may have killed his new wife in their Raleigh home.
I have blood all over me, and there's a bloody knife on the bed, and I think I did it.
Okay, do you think she is beyond any help?
I don't know. I'm too scared to get too close to her.
He claims to have woken from a dream to find his wife dead and blamed cold medicine.
I took more medicine than I should have.
He said to help him sleep. Phelps, now charged with murder, made his first court appearance today.
You could receive the death penalty or life without the possibility of parole.
We have to ask everybody to withhold judgment in this particular case until we know more.
It wouldn't be the first time cold medicine has been used as a defense for murder. Louis Chen, a Seattle doctor, tried it last year and got the maximum prison sentence.
It seems like a desperate long shot, but it's theoretically possible if there's strong medical testimony to show that an extreme dose could cause an extremely violent reaction, and if there's no evidence whatsoever that the defendant had a motive to murder his wife.
Phelps has no criminal record. He can be heard sobbing during that 911 call.
He didn't deserve this. Why?
Why? A question Lauren Hugelmeyer's friends and family are undoubtedly wondering, too. Blake McCoy, NBC News.
We'll take a short break here. We're back in a moment with raging infernos, the race to stop dozens of major fires burning across 11 states. We'll be right back. In the West this evening, thousands of firefighters are racing to contain nearly 60 fires burning across 11 states. Some mandatory evacuations are in effect, a number of homes at risk, and in the Pacific Northwest, all the smoke has triggered an air quality alert for much of the region. NBC's Steve Patterson now with the latest.
In Oregon, a growing threat. Blistering winds spreading the so-called Eagle Creek fire nearly 10,000 acres, ash and smoke, shutting down more than 70 miles of I-84, a major east-west highway, threatening homes, prompting mandatory evacuations, and blanketing Metro Portland in bad air.
Since this morning, the air quality continues to reduce.
57 major wildfires burning across 11 states tonight, a satellite image showing the region smothered in smoke, including Utah, where elementary schools closed. 45-mile-an-hour winds pushing the fast-moving Weber Canyon fire into neighborhoods. At least five homes destroyed. In Montana, red flag winds drove the massive Rice Ridge fire to more than 100,000 acres. And in Los Angeles, more than 1,000 firefighters finally getting the Latuna Canyon fire under control, but not before destroying five houses, including the Bolison family home.
I dig through this rubble with all my friends here who came up to help, and we find little things, and I'm just like, I remember that. That's so Karen. That's so Virgil.
Wildfire season spreading danger across the West and just getting started. Steve Patterson, NBC News, Los Angeles.
And when we come back here tonight, the teen on a mission to preserve the histories of the greatest generation. Inspiring America is next. Finally, tonight, they are members of the greatest generation, the 16 million Americans who served during World War II. Over the years, though, we've lost more and more of them, and now just about 500,000 are still with us. But there's one teen on a mission to make sure their duty and bravery is never forgotten. NBC's Jacob Rascone has more in tonight's Inspiring America report.
I mean, you'd grow up in a hurry.
Marshall Harris remembers the Battle of Iwo Jima like it was yesterday. He was there 72 years ago when fellow Marines raised the American flag atop Mount Suribachi.
All of a sudden, there was an unbelievable explosion. There went one of my best buddies.
Behind the camera is high school senior Andy Fancher.
I mean, for 92, you're getting around just fine.
His 55th interview with a veteran and counting.
Now is the time to ensure that these stories are preserved for future generations.
We meet.
Andy produces short films using the interviews and posts them to his YouTube channel. A personal project to do for others what Andy wishes someone had done for him.
I was sifting through old family photographs, and I stumbled on one.
It was his great-grandfather, Gene T. Fancher, who survived the war but, like so many other veterans, died without anyone recording his war stories. Now it's a race against time.
Five of my interviewees have passed on since I interviewed them.
John Ferris died 15 days after his interview with Andy. The video was played at his funeral. Nobody appreciates the project more than the veterans themselves.
That kind of information is going to be extremely valuable.
Many of them have gifted Andy World War II memorabilia.
You better hurry up because there aren't many of us left and there won't be very long.
Could give me just a little smile for me.
Memorializing the greatest generation while inspiring the next one. Jacob Rascone, NBC News, Dallas.
All right. We appreciate you spending part of your evening with us. That is Nightly News for this Tuesday night. I'm Lester Holt. For all of us at NBC News, thank you for watching and good night.